3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
What I was interested in really is two aspects of your test.
One, your work with the Atlanta Negro Voters League and the Georgia Voters League. And then I'm curious also about some work you did with the Empire Real Estate Board. That's two areas.
I don't remember much about the board.
Well, let me just, maybe if I ask the question.
There's some questions.
Okay, in regard to the Atlanta Negro Voters League, I was curious at what point did white politicians take notice of growing black political strength?
I think the first ones to take notice of that was Mayor Austin, white politician. And he took notice of it after we had organized to defeat him.
To defeat him?
Yeah. The time he ran against, I think it was probably Charlie Brown, but first time he ran, he won.
Yeah.
But he recognized the potential of the leadership that was in the Atlanta Negro Voters League, as well as the showing we made. Because you see, black voters were in the minority at the time, something like 45%, I guess.
Yeah.
And, but he was impressed by that, and so the next time he ran for re-election, then we got with him. I don't remember how it started, but he gave us some money to organize it. I think it was something like $1,600.
To organize the Negro Voters League?
We needed money to organize, get a headquarters and all that kind
of
thing.
That's interesting.
And we helped him to get elected, and then from 40, I think that was in 46, 40, 48, 52, 56, and when it came down to 62,
yeah.
He recommended we support Ivan Allen.
Right.
And Ivan Allen, for the time he ran his re-election, he did the same thing.
Yeah. In terms of seeking black support.
Yeah. And then you see, certain other people came in to help with. You take,
one of the coders?
Yeah, coders. You take, Dan Duke.
Yeah.
Who was formerly, assistant attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
He helped to fight the Klan, and that put him. By the time we organized Negro Voters League, he was very much interested. Then you had a man like the county commissioner, the white county commissioner. And all these people said, when you get enough Negroes registered, well, we can work for you.
So at the very beginning then, let's say before the white primary was done away with. Hartsfield didn't care about it.
Well, I don't know what Hartsfield's position was on that. I don't think he was. The whole thing had to be a segregationist.
Yeah.
Back in those days, until 1940. I think the white primary was abolished in 1944 or 46.
Right.
Then Negroes get out to register the voters. That's where we started, getting Negroes registered to vote. That's where I came as a speaker to help get Negroes registered. And Jesse Hill came in. He was chairman of all citizen registration for them.
Right.
And then we organized, after we had success with Hartsfield and Atlanta Negro Voters League, Mr. Dobbs and Mr. Walden went to organize the Georgia Voters League, and Mr. Dobbs had a nucleus of that because he was the head of the Prince Hall Masons in the state. Then he had lodges all over the state.
That's
and where he organized, he called meetings, and first he started this meeting in Macon. And he would, his men, he'd notify his men. By that time, he built a building down there and had it had redeemed the Masonic order in the state, Pensaw Mason, and he used to call, they'd come to the meeting.
So that was the nucleus of his...
Majority voting day, and Mr. Walden, he and Mr. Walden worked together, just like they were doing it now.
And, let's see, so I guess then, when Clarksville first came there, he wasn't particularly in favor of any kind of black rights or anything.
Well, it wasn't politically expedient.
Okay, so it became politically expedient.
I remember John Wright, I was having to be in City Hall one the day after the election, that first election. And John White, who later became a very good friend of ours, he was an orator at the time, and he was glorified over the fact that they had beat us. I just happened to see him, I think I went to she was blocked by the water bill or something like that.
Yeah.
I was in the real estate business. And I remember Mr. White just laughing and talking about the fact that they had won, Hartsfield had won.
So when you organized by 1948, I think you did, the Negro Voters League, that was organized then to defeat Hartsfield in the next election?
Not organized, we didn't do it. Well, that came about another way. Here's the way that came about. When John Wesley Dawes was, before he retired from the mail service, he was an officer in charge, clerk in charge of the railway mail service. I think he had run from here to Mobile, Alabama. And he used to come into our office, my office, I was working in the office there, my father-in-law's office, he had passed in 1935. And I was in the office, and he used to come in to pay his rent. Mm-hmm. He had trouble with his finances, and he was paying rent on the house. He was trying to redeem the house. But he used to come in and tell me that he knew of my civic interest, to my interest in the voter league and the community chest and things like that. And he used to tell me there were two things he was going to do. One was to redeem the Masonic Order, because he had been elected head of it, succeeding Dr. Butler, Dr. Henry Butler. And said, I'll get out, I'm a redeemer, and I'm going to get my people organized and registered to vote. Okay. Well, he did that. He went to work and had getting the members of the lodge to reduce their claim, and he was able to redeem that and get that building out. And then he started out to get people registered. He talked about it. I think at that time there was something over more than probably 1,000 people that were registered to vote.
His
father had the white primary, and what was the use of getting registered? White primary was tantamount to election.
Right.
And until the white primary was abolished, not only was it got the decision against the white primary, but I mean, but the county unit system. So the governor helped with that a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
The father said, Governor, he got that done. And then
the Talmadge, I guess.
Huh?
Talmadge?
No, not Talbot.
I mean,
the man Talbot had to fight with.
Oh, the one who got rid of the county university.
Yeah.
Sanders,
That was poor Sanders. No, can't think of his name. His name get away from him.
Well,
anyway,
this
came about through coordinated action at that time. And so, Mr. Dodd was talking about it all over the state as he was traveling around and so forth. And he one day he was down, I think there was probably 1,000 or so Negroes registered in the state.
Mm-hmm.
They could only vote in general election, and so what? Who voted general election didn't do any good, because whites overwhelmed him. There was no way to do anything. But anyway, so one day he was down at the courthouse to make his tax return. And a man named Mr. Johnson was in the registrar's office, in the county office, registration office. And he had segregation, he had his desk out in the hall. I remember that. He didn't go to the window like everybody, all the white people did. He's a fine fellow. He said, John Wesley, he said, you're talking about Negroes getting registered. And one of the troubles is the poll tax.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a cumulative tax. Now, say you were 20, 30 years old, and you wanted to register. You had to pay the tax, accumulative tax. Tax itself might be, the poll tax would be $2 or $3, but you'd have to multiply by the number of years you've been 21. So that was a bar for people registered, you see. So he said,
I guess the whites do, I guess. So.
Yeah, but the whites didn't make any difference to them. Because they were registered, the ones who were voting. They didn't bother about that. They were always registered. They registered when they were 21.
That's true, yeah.
But the Negroes, whether you was not ready, whether you were registered to vote, when the vote didn't count for anything.
Yeah.
So that's what I said, as far as I know. But he said, now there are 10,000 names in these books. If you send somebody down here to copy those names, you can copy those names, then you can contact those people. So Mr. Dobbs hired two lawyers, one named S.S. Robinson and the other named E.E. Moore.
Uh-huh.
Young black lawyers. Both of them are dead. No, I think Moore went to California, but Robinson is dead. But anyway, they went down to copy those names off the book. And then we organized it. I helped Mr. Dobbs, what I've been working with. What had happened is that he had organized the Atlanta, let me see, Atlanta Civic and Political League.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a bipartisan organization because all of them were in there. Dobbs was in there, Scott was in there, whatever. Grace Hamilton was Representative Hamilton. They were all, she was the head of the league, and they were all interested in this. And Dr. Baco, out of the Nan University, was, he was, the Alpha Fraternity had set up a plan called, they called it Citizenship Plan, in which they were encouraging registration. So, Grace Hamilton, being a friend of Baco, and all, they named him, Baco, the chairman of this committee. And I remember Mr. Dobbs, who had organized the Civil Political League to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here they come talking about setting up something else to do it. And then the little Democrat and Republican business getting involved in that. See, Dobbs was Republican, and they were Democrat. Because what had happened was Dan Duke, as I said, had done this thing, and he was Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And Walden, being a lawyer too, they knew each other. And Governor Arm, that's what I've been trying to think. Governor Arm had to do this. He had to do it with the white primary and all that. So the Arm and those, and so Duke was running for the list of Fulton County.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Webb was running. They're all Democrats. But this seemed to be a city election. See, city election, it's like it is now. See, city elections, they're not partisan. So they was the same thing. They only got different laws on it now, but it was the same thing. So Dobbs, for some reason, I don't know why, I think it was because Paul Willis was a preacher. And he was against Duke, or Duke and them were Republicans. Duke and all were Republicans. I mean, Democrats. So, let me see. The leaders I remember in there were Benjamin J. Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who he was. He was a black national committeeman for the Republican Party in Georgia. And C.A. Scott was in there. C.A. Scott was still a Democrat then. And I was in there. A man named Cyril Hopper, he was the first principal of Washington High School, and he was also head of the NAACP. And so we organized this Atlanta Civil Rights League. And I remember that Hartsfield was running this making this race. And they had a meeting over in Big Bethel Church. And I remember that night that Don was up that talk. First thing is, I get these things mixed up sometimes. Let's think of this. Yeah. Where, yeah, now I got it. Before I got to that point, Mr. Davis, Mr. Dobbs, and Mr. Walter, and I all got in, met in the office and decided what we were going to do with all the people that registered voters. And so, because that's when Oscar was running. So we got in the car and drove around the neighborhood a while, talking. We'd be private, come back. And so in that talk, they decided that we wouldn't announce who we were going to support that night. That what we'd do is we would put them off to the next night. This was a Monday night, and the election on Wednesday. So we went back to the church, and Dar made one of his all-fire speeches. Dar was a boy, he was a marvelous speaker. He would talk 2 hours. I've seen him talk 2 hours at a time. People sit up there on the edge of their seat. He had such a good memory. He could have so much history. I saw one night at the Savoy Hotel right in Herndon building. Here was one night, he got up there and spoke. There were 300 people to the. They had a consistory meeting there, all of the men from all over the country. There were 300 people in that meeting that night. He introduced every one of those people, tell where it came from, and what he did. Just think about that. Tremendous memory. But anyway, he made one of his speeches that night, and I remember Reverend Babcock, who was the pastor of the church at the time. Some man or another picked up the gavel. And Dobbs knew the power of that gavel. Babcock said, this is that Big Bethel Church. You can't talk in here like that. He was talking against Hospital. And so Dobb snatched the thing away from him. Anyway, they said, well, we had decided who we want to be. Now tell you the key to the decision was we had this executive committee. I never will forget this man. Man who was head of the Building Loan Association was a member of our executive committee. And we met up there in the Sonic Masonic Temple. And they were trying to decide whether they were going to support Hartsfield or the most Bridges. Now, Bridges was the alderman for the First World War. And the issue was police brutality. Boy, that police brutality was something at the time. I remember I came up here one time, to give you an idea of what a mess it was. I came up one time, I think it was right after I got married in the late 20s. And my father-in-law was Cornelius King. They still have an office over there. My daughter is the head of Cornelius King and son. He let his son, his youngest son, take me down to buy a pair of Florestan shoes on Mitchell Street. That store is still there. And the man, I know the man, I've seen the man lately who was in it. So I bought those shoes and we started back. And coming down Marietta Street, going east on Marietta Street into Fire Point. You know, Auburn Avenue was a fault there, Auburn District, Edward District, and all about that way, you see. So, but you're supposed to not, don't make no turn. You go straight down Edward, see. And what he did, my brother-in-law did, he went up on Auburn Avenue, boys, and they got up there, when he got up there, the corner, the police were blowing whistles at him, boys, like nobody's business. So he stopped. Right at the corner, I remember the Stein clothing store right at that corner, Auburn and Peace Street. Mm-hmm. He stopped right there at the turn off. Police got around his side of the car, and boy, he let out such a stream of vile language I'd never heard before. I said, Mister, can't you talk to us any better than that? What did I send that for? He came around the corner on my side. He opened that door and said, get out of this car, nigga. And so I got out and I had on a pair of nickels. When he saw those nickels, he was infuriated. He snatched me by my belt and carried me to a police box to hit me on the jaw with a blank jacket. Well, by the time the Mariah got, Black Mariah, we call it, got there, carried me to the jail, Cornelius, my brother-in-law, had gone home and told his father about it. His father had called a man named Gerald Thomas, who was the head of the Urban League at the time, and he met me at the jail, and then didn't make any case. And then I'm okay. I hadn't done anything.
Right. They just wanted to beat up on somebody, huh?
Yeah, that's where now I had did nothing he had against me except that I asked him not to curse. But anyway,
yeah. That's
the kind of voting, and that's what we were getting. Now, that didn't just happen one. They were beating up white people the same way. It didn't make any difference. The reason they got the police didn't like.
This is
you saw a police drive up there and be in a car. You see what a difference is now? The white policeman drove me up to down here to my work this morning. But that's because of the relationship you established.
That's right.
But anyway, that was the issue. So,
This is about 1945 or anything?
Yeah. 44. No, it was after the white crime, after the open 46.
46.
Yeah, I think it was 46.
Okay.
And so, Hartfield, we decided we weren't going to announce that night.
Mm-hmm.
The officer said, we'd come back tomorrow night. The church was packed. You know the next night they filled that church again? The brother church at that time would own another 2,000 people. And so, it was packed. So, but what had happened was, in that meeting where we drove around, that I didn't want to talk in the meeting, but a man named Mr. Frank Wilson was an alderman, and he was Hartsfield's campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing real estate and buying lumber from Randall Burroughs Lumber Company. And it's still out there. And Mr. Wilson called me and said, John, let me tell you. Don't y'all endorse, he knew we were going to endorse that night, Don't y'all endorse anybody tonight. Because if you endorse Hartsfield tonight, the Constitution is going to snare. If you endorse Bridges, the German is going to snare. But you don't y'all endorse anybody. So I told him that, and that's what we were riding around about before I could get up there, and told him to come back the next night. And they came back the next night and filled the church. So they announced it. We had the Jay Committee voted by secret ballot.
Yeah.
So nobody knew, I didn't know what the result of the thing was.
So it's the endorsed Hartsfield, then.
That's right.
That was Hartsfield.
Now, wait a minute, we endorsed Bridges.
Oh, you endorsed Bridges, all
right. Because Hartsfield wouldn't get rid of his bad police chief,
okay.
See?
Okay.
I got it in my record here who that chief was. Beaver was the chief then. And so, Hartsfield had gotten another, and Beavers had gone, and Beavers was chief when I got arrested that time, but the man that succeeded Beavers was the chief.
Wasn't Jenkins yet, was it?
No, I hadn't got a Jenkins. Oh, no, Jenkins didn't change that thing around. He got it, man. But this was another, and then he went to Stedman. Chief Stedman, that's who the chief. And he wouldn't commit himself to do anything. Well, he'd just gotten into office, but Beavers had been there before. But then that police department almost ran this city. What you doing? You know the FOP now? It isn't nothing to what that police department did. Right? And because the police department, I've got a chapter on my book about the police department. It's gone through a revolution.
Yes, sir.
You take when the 1906 riots. Boy, they got had a problem. You know the button tonight, I hate to keep jumping off, but these things come to my mind. You know the 1906 riot was similar to that thing up in Philadelphia the other day. When you look at the record, you'll find that a Negro who had some trouble with a white policeman was holed up in a building in Pittsburgh. And man, he was an expert with Winchester rifle. That guy, every time a policeman would show his face, he'd shoot it. got two or three of them. So the way they got to him was, they got one of the Negroes who were in there holed up with him, got scared and came out and agreed to throw up his hands, "I'll surrender." So they made this Negro agree to go back in there and start fighting. And they burned up that man with his rifle and everything up in that building.
Crazy.
But anyway, well, now, I don't need to tell you that. You get a book, get a copy of this book here. All that stuff is in there. If you're interested in the Land Police Department, you ought to get that. That got some big, heavy thing. And just down here, see that black thing there? Yeah. See? That's, you know, and guess who did it? Who wrote that? Eve.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He wrote it on the Maynard Jackson. But that's a beautiful thing. Look at all those pictures in there.
Yeah, it's a nice book, sure.
You can get it. They'll bail on there. Somebody gave me that.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, you asked the police department. You can get it. It's available. You ought to get it and read it. You're in history of Atlanta. It's really something. It's got, but anyway, going back to the thing.
So when Hartsfield didn't get...
No, with Hartsfield, what happened was, Bridges didn't carry his own war. We're supposed to, but he didn't carry his own war. See? Even Hartsfield won because we announced that night, Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning it rained. Wednesday morning it rained.
Yeah.
But about noon, the sun came out. And the journal came out, too. And you know, between then and 7 o'clock, white folk clock and the folk said the Negroes and their dogs Bridges, and the white folks came out and voted Hartsfield back in office.
So why did Hartsfield want your support next time around then?
Well, he saw what we had. We made such a good record, and he saw what we were doing such an intelligent way, and then dogs and walls and got rid of it. And then it's, what really happened is this guy Cochran, Warren R. Cochran, who was a secretary, former secretary of this bill. He was a strong Democrat. He'd been in Democratic politics in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Secretary of War, and he was the secretary to the Democrat secretary for the Negro Voting League. But what happened really was, the next, in 40, that was in 46, in 48, somewhere in there, Talmadge. Let's see how to get the agenda history straight.
Gene Talmadge died around that time.
Oh, wait a minute. What happened was, this matter of voter registration came up, and Paycourt was chairman of the committee.
Well.
And I remember one night we had a meeting over in this hotel building I was talking about over here in this building. And I was interested in voter registration. Dobbs did not, this was still under the Atlanta Civil Political League. We hadn't organized the voters league then. But it's under the Atlanta Civil Political League. So Grace Hammond knows that the committee had named Baker to be the chairman. So I told Baker that night, I said, "Now look, Darby's going to come to, Darby's having meetings too." But he was opposed to this organization because it was dominated by Democrats, number one, and he was making such great success with the Atlanta Civil Political League with getting those 10,000 names and increased the registration so that he didn't want them to have it. So he got up and to make a speech. But I told Baker before, I said, "Look, Mr. Baker, and you let Mr. Dobbs talk, because you can't talk against him. And I didn't used to try to do that. If he talked, then you just say, 'Thank you, Mr. Dobbs,' and go ahead." But no, just, I said, "You just go ahead with your agenda," because they had a written agenda. But B.J. Davis spoke against it at the National Committee. Another guy named Smith, Roland Smith, of the Republicans. See, this became a
spoke against forming a voters' league. Is that
not the voting league. Voting league hasn't come up now. Yeah. This is against setting up this all citizens registration committee.
Okay.
And so Bakel was sponsoring it. He's chairman of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Smith spoke. Did they go up? Bullard made strong speeches about not leading this organization and so forth. Well, it's called creative Democrats and Republicans. That's what it was. But so when Dodd spoke, Dodd made a fiery speech. When he got through, Bakel said, "Thank you, Mr. Dodd. Now, ladies and gentlemen, sir," Dodd left the meeting. But he was smart. He came back and contributed $50. That was the thing they organized for to get some money. Well, then there came up a case of, then this other thing came up with Webber. And also there was something about Herman Talbot. And Dodd, see, well, and it was embarrassed now to go for Talbot for governor.
Sure.
So Grace, Wall, Hopkins, Grace Hamilton, another fellow named Jacob Henderson.
Yeah.
They were all Democrats. They said, "If we can't have this, we got to work together." So then they decided, I wasn't in that meeting, but they called a meeting in which they had agreed to set up this Land Negro Voting League. See, Walden was the chairman for the Democrats, co-chairman. Dodd was chairman for the Republicans.
Right.
C.A. Scott was chairman, vice chairman for the Democrats. And he's a Republican now, though. And a guy named Holloman, the insurance man, he was one of Mr. Dodd's Mason. He was the chairman for the Republicans. The secretary for the Democrat was Cochran, secretary of the Y, and he kept all the records because he had the Y here, the clerks, stenographers, and so forth. And Bill Shaw, William Shaw, who was a secretary for Ben Davis, was a Republican secretary. I was assistant secretary. And Leroy John, who became assistant secretary for the Republicans. Leroy Johnson, that was before he ran for the Senate.
Yeah.
Well, assistant secretary for the Democrats.
So let's see, so let me get this straight.
But I had co-champ all the way down.
You first thought of the civic and political league.
That's right.
And you supported Bridges.
That's
and,
right.
And then you began to organize the All Citizens Registration Committee.
That's right.
And then the seeing that you didn't support Hotsfield in 1946, at what point did he start to solicit your support?
48. Yeah.
The next election was coming around, he was a little worried about where the black vote would go.
That's right. And we voted for him and he got elected.
What did he promise if he got elected?
Well, he made all kinds of promises about doing away with the city. We haven't gotten there. His schools aren't integrated, and he's going to make things better. Not going to do away with segregation. But he was going to listen to the complaints of Negroes, do away the police brutality and all that.
So things about improving your neighborhoods and...
We haven't gotten around to that, and there's no money.
Okay,
no.
So it's a matter of hiring police, black police?
Yeah, that was in that too. We had a long time getting to it, but
I guess just listening more to black leaders.
That's right. We had entrees. If we had any kind of problem, the problems we had then were mostly little problems, like neighborhoods, you know, people getting arrested and discriminated against, police brutality, and social.
But he wasn't willing to listen to this before you began to gather some votes.
Well, they didn't buy this. What are you listening to? They had to listen to the folks who were giving them the votes.
Politicians.
That's all now. Then you see, and this thing was so well organized that Dodd and Warren used to preside at we have a table there, and both of them stood up there and presided at the table. That's how they got along.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different kind of thing. That thing continued up until around 1962.
Yeah.
I think Ivan Allen's second election, he had trouble holding them together. Then because Well, the Democrats, the black Democrats are getting strong in the Democratic Party now, and so they don't want no Republicans telling them what to do. So they just broken up. But anyway, by that time, you asked one of the questions we asked about voter registration over the state.
Right.
By that time, I had organized a Georgia voter registration committee. Georgia registration committee.
Uh-huh.
And I was the chairman of that. And the reason I was chairman of that because I've been active with the NAACP. And NAACP finally, we got when the first $5,000 we got for that registration campaign came from the NAACP.
Uh-huh.
But they finally decided that they would not sponsor registration anywhere there wasn't a chapter of the NAACP. Well, it wasn't back in those days, there wasn't a chapter of the NAACP over the state.
Yeah.
I didn't want to work with that. I wanted to work with all of them. So the new man, I forgot his name, came as chairman of SCLC for the registration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got with him, and he agreed, and Andy Young was a deputy director of SCLC. He was vice on the Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed to give us the money to hold these meetings in the, you know, over the state.
Right.
And the what we needed most of the money for, we'd encourage young people to get registered by asking the principal of the high school in those towns, somebody from there to bring busload of people to make them. And if it did, we'd pay the expenses then. Then we have them in other parts of the state. You know.
So just trying to get as many people registered as possible.
Yes, sir.
Did this have any particular impact on the Republican Party in Georgia? I mean, I know.
All these people in the Democrat Party.
Oh, so really, it didn't do much for Republicans.
No. Although it was a bipartisan effort. It didn't do much wrong.
I was also curious why there was an attempt to begin black registration efforts as early as 44 when it didn't really mean anything at that point. Why was there a push that early?
Yeah. Tom?
I guess it was Bob?
I told you how Bob started. He said that he was that civic minded. He said two things he was going to do. He was going to restore the Society Party,
right.
And he's going to get my people registered.
But at that point, it didn't make much of a difference, though, because...
Well, he saw the value of it, and he was a Republican, see, and the Democrats weren't doing anything for Negroes.
He just thought at some point the white primary would be out, and this would mean something.
I don't know if he even thought about that. I don't know what he thought about that. I just know what he told me.
He just thought.
And I was just getting into Atlanta. See, this was the 30s. I came in 34. See, and then he was talking like that, and I listened to him, you know. But he did what he said he was going to do. That's what I said to the party, because he told me as fuck he was going to do that. And that didn't go for no week. That was over the years.
But maybe he was thinking of bond elections, maybe. That had nothing to do with the
party. I don't know what he had in mind.
But he just wanted to do it.
Okay. He knew the power to black the power to vote.
Yeah.
And he was interested in that ballot. He was preaching that to the American. He had a provision put in the Constitution of the Masonic Order that you couldn't belong to the Masonic Order unless you were a registered voter. So what happened? One of his Grand Masters, he was a Grand Master, I got to try and get that word, Grand Master of Masons, Prince Hall Mason. But one of his local Grand Masters called him one day and said, Mr. Dyer, said, we're having trouble with our dispensation. See, the Masons would have this dispensation. That's where I joined the Mason down in Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get members in. And he said, but we got this clause in our Constitution, you've got to be ready to vote. But these people now, you don't know who's ready to vote. And so, the newspaper about things in the Constitution came to Mr. Dowd and asked him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you, the dog ran his mouth. And told him, yes, he told him that. And he criticized Randolph County. They ain't got no business keeping people from registering and voting. And the man printed it. One night, somebody knocked on his door. He was putting on these steel doors in his house.
This was up on
Austin Street.
Yeah.
He had one of those steel doors. Somebody knocked on the door. The dog opened the inside door. He didn't open that screen. And, he played the old boy up there. Who is it? And the man said, I'm Sheriff Sean Tonto from Randolph County. The dog said, but he was smart. He got the representative from the police department to come. And they all knew Dobb. He said, that's all right, Mr. Dobb, let him in. So Mr. Dobb let him in, and he shared a warrant on him to report the grand jury on some such a date. In Randolph County.
And before that, though?
Well, these articles he wrote in the paper. I mean, the thing came in the paper. They want to find out what this Negro from Atlanta talking about.
Yeah.
So the grand jury wasn't here. So he got a man, a white lawyer, named Smith. Yeah. And Smith, well, you know, he's a very, very prominent man. He's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name, but anyway, Mr. Smith went down there with him. And Mr. Dobb said, when we went to that courthouse, so he saw some of the meanest looking folks he'd ever seen in his life sitting out there. We didn't really get there.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in and put him down to question and asked him about what he had said. And he told him what he said. And they said, what about the NAACP?
Mm-hmm.
God said, he told him, Mr. Chairman, every self-respecting Negro I know belongs to the NAACP. And they dismissed it. That's the last heard of that. So now you ask me, but why is that is his heart.
Yeah.
Now, how he got that way, I don't know.
Well,
but that was it, because he was, that's the second way I had to born down there now.
Boy. Great guy.
That's right. It was awesome.
When you began to really begin to register a lot of people in Atlanta, I was wondering why the Fulton County Democratic Party took so long to give any recognition to blacks. It took until the 60s before any blacks.
You mean the Democrats?
Fulton County Democrats.
I went. What happened was, I went to working for the SCLC.
Yeah.
And one of the particular things I remember was the election came up between Griffin and Sanders.
Yeah.
Yeah, Griffin and Sanders. And ML had been put in jail down in Albany. The police put him in jail down there. He and Abernathy are both in jail. So, forgot the party name. Preacher. But him, that was before Andy was made the executive secretary. Guy's in New York now. He's a preacher. Anyway, they were interested in getting those Negroes in Dougherty County.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to after that chief of police and all that down there. So Reverend Fred Bennett and I went down there to set up this office. We set up an office in Albany. And we got 2,600 Negroes registered. Dougherty County was the only kind of state that went against you, and that was only for the effect of that. That showed you what we were doing.
Yeah.
I remember one night, a minute now, on the way back from Albany, and State Patrol stopped. You see, anytime they saw a license, State foreclosed, see a license plate and enter this stop. We went speeding. The man stopped it when he stopped.
Yeah.
And they came over and stopped us. They said we were speeding. I said, mister, we can went speeding. But in the meantime, there were two of them. One of them was right around the back and shining his light in the back of the car. And so this SCLC, MLK material in there,
yeah.
Man, they carried us to America, to the jail. They had a nerve to get down a brand new deal of America. And this jailer, the sheriff was there, so we went in. And I told him I was making a good impression. I said, Mr. Sheriff, I told him we weren't guilty of speeding.